Exodus chapter 40, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened his sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat, when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from it over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, I believe having gone through the construction of each of these parts and pieces and artifacts in the tabernacle complex, that we need not discuss them intimately here. We've talked about them before. But there are, I think, three themes that are indeed good to talk about in a reading as we read through chapter 40 here together and bring the book of Exodus to a close. With one point of introduction. One point of introduction, 3 points. Sounds like a sermon, doesn't it? Hopefully it will not be. We'll keep it to a reading. But the introduction is that, notice that this is exactly 1 year after they have come out of Egypt. Exactly 1 year. The first day of the first month of the second year is when all of these things are set in place. So it has been a year since they have come forth out of Egypt. It has been a year that they have been building all of these things and gathering all of these materials and fashioning all of this work. 1 year. We've already looked at all of the detail, but it has been a year. And so we understand then that this is very ornate, very intricate. They have not rushed. They have prepared a year to come before the Lord in this way. Now that will preach on it. There is something to be said for our weekly preparation to approach the Lord. All right, so that's the point of introduction. The first point of the text is what? It is inside out, like before. Where do we begin the building? How is it described? It is described from the ark outward, because worship is from God's perspective. We must, if we would enter into worship with God, put ourselves, as it were, as far as we are able, in our fallen and broken frames, to see the perspective of God in worship, that we would come to serve Him and not ourselves. And oh, how the church needs to hear that message today. We come to serve Him. And so the tabernacle is constructed, and it is described in its construction, and it is described in its putting into order. Not only in the making of it, not only in the planning of it. We've seen all of this throughout the book, these last 10 chapters of the book, or 8 chapters of the book of Exodus. But in the final analysis, it has always been from God's perspective. Here's the plan. I'm going to show you the ark first. Here's the building. I'm going to show you. Build the ark first. Here's the putting it into practice now and building it up and setting it in its proper order. I'm going to show you the ark first. It goes from God's perspective at every turn. Brothers and sisters, when we come to worship, can we? Shall we pray that we would develop that mindset? That we would come to worship God from, as far as we are able, His perspective and not ours? Now, I will tell you that God is merciful and that He is kind, and that you come to worship Him from His perspective and you leave with a blessing. He will not leave you empty. He will not leave you empty-handed coming from His perspective. I know folks come to church today because they want to leave feeling good. That's their goal. That's their aim. You will never feel as good, if I can put it so colloquially, as you would if you come to serve Him. The profitability that you seek is in serving Him. And laying down your will. And laying down your will worship. That's where your profitability is. That's where you will prosper. Secondly, there is this continual refrain. And I hope you felt bludgeoned by it as I did reading it. As the Lord commanded Moses. And this is only an ancillary, an application of that worship is from God's perspective. Over and again, as the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Worship is by God's command, from His perspective. And then the third point, so blessed, is that when God's people entertain that kind of worship from God's perspective, note what the result is. God came down and dwelt with His people and inhabited that tabernacle and led them by day and by night. And when the pillar went up, they went up and they traveled with it wherever it went. And when it came down, they stopped and they placed their feet and they rest. And they rested there until God got up again and He led them about and He dwelt among them and He worshiped and He received their worship as they came to Him. Because the tabernacle was erected from God's perspective. It was according to God's commandment. And so God dwelt with them. Now we ought not to expect a visible glory cloud. Some churches say they get that. I've never seen one. I don't expect to see one in this age. I do expect, however, that we would believe that glory cloud is here when we worship God according to His commandment. That He is indeed dwelling among His people. To a church underage, He appeared visibly. To us, the church in its majority, He appears no less really, but spiritually. And that is how our confession and catechisms put it. No less really, but spiritually. Do we desire then to have God dwelling in our midst, leading us and guiding us? Do we desire the glory cloud? Then we must worship Him according to His command, as Exodus chapter 40 makes so very clear. Thus ends the reading then. Let's